What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to the Double M Show, episode 33. Ooh. We're talking Larry Bird now,
Mike. Birdman.
We're talking Larry Bird, number 33. Who else is number 33 that I can think of at the top of my head?
Was Kevin Falk 33?
Kevin Falk.
Was he 33?
No.
Kevin Falk wasn't number 33
for maybe.
The Patriots?
Yeah, Falk was 33.
He was, come on. That's a great picture.
Am I thinking about Marshall?
Marshall Falk. Bro, Kevin Falk was number 33. Running back for the New England Patriots.
Larry Bird and Kevin Falk. Good job, Mike.
I'm trying to think of any baseball players. Rest up. All right, that's okay. Kevin Falk, Larry Bird. We'll take that.
We'll take it. So we on our Bird
Shout
show.
Shout out any famous 33s that y'all can think of, too. Guys.
On our Bird show, on our Falk show. On Double M this week, and we got so much to break down, man. But just for those who are wondering what happened last week, technicals, as always, sometimes it's in the business that we did. Our number 32 show is in the vaults. It's getting processed right now. But we are here live for number 33. Mike Nice,
yes,
what is on the playlist?
So today on the playlist, we definitely want to talk about this whole NBA, China, Daryl Morey, LeBron James comments over the whole situation that's gone on over the past week and a half. You know, some things were said, controversial things were possibly said. People feel certain type of ways about him. Now people are taking shots at Morey, people taking shots at LeBron. We're going to dive more into that whole topic and situation. But you know, here on Double M, we got to give our point of view on the whole situation as well.
Oh,
and
yeah,
we also want to hear from y'all about it as well. We also want to speak on the NFL right now has a problem. And it's not only been this season, but a couple of seasons now for sure. But this season is definitely going to highlight it even more and more. The officials, the referees in the NFL and the new rules, especially with the pass interference, replay being involved and teams can challenge that. There's a lot of things going on with that, but specifically the Monday Night Football game between the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers, another game where because of the officials, a team lost the game in a lot of people's eyes. The game was lost by the Detroit Lions because the officials made some very questionable calls and decisions that really affected the outcome of the game. But we'll speak on that as well. We also want to talk about some recent news that came out with Tyler Perry in the opening of his Tyler Perry Studios, you know, in Atlanta, Georgia. A piece of land that he acquired to set the studio up. Massive.
Huge.
Massive. Huge. Humongous. You know, get into the numbers for sure and the different things that this new location for the studio has on it, but Tyler Perry's making some moves right now. You know, shout out to him for sure, and we'll dive into that some more. And then, you know, the new Joker movie came out. It might pose a quick question to you, Marv, to you guys who are tuning in. Out of the last couple of Jokers that came out in live-action movies between The Dark Knight, Suicide Squad, and then The Joker, how do you rank those actors and their performances as The Joker? We'll get into that if we have some time.
Yeah, sure. I like that a lot. So as you guys know, this is a live show. So a lot of things can happen. A lot of breaking news can just pop up. And we have a playlist, but we had a question come in about our first thoughts on, if you guys don't know right now, Jalen Ramsey has been traded to the Los Angeles Rams. Mike, quick 30-second reaction on your thoughts on Jalen Ramsey to the Los Angeles Rams.
I mean, the guy wanted out of a bad situation in Jacksonville Jaguars. He knows he's a great he wants to get paid, obviously.
Right.
And it's one thing to get paid. Some players, it's interesting mindset. Some players don't mind getting paid and being on a sucky team. You know, you could get all the money possible, but you're on a team that's not going anywhere. And, you know, I think Jalen Ramsey, in my opinion, probably felt that way with Jacksonville. Yes, he wanted to get paid, but the team sucks.
Right.
Point blank, period. So he basically got what he wanted. I think it's a win-win situation all around. Rams add another great player to their defense. the Rams also gave Jacksonville a boatload of picks, draft picks and whatnot that they can use to help, you know, build the future of their team. And then Jalen Ramsey is now on a team that can be a contender in the NFC. So I think, in my opinion, a win-win situation all around.
Definitely a win-win situation for everybody. Look, the Rams are falling apart here. Talib going into IR. Marcus Peters, you know, ever since he went to the Rams, he wasn't the Marcus Peters that we once remembered in Kansas City. So he gets shipped off to the Ravens. They bring in Jalen Ramsey there. And, yo, if you're the Jaguars, you can't ask for a better deal. Two first-round picks for 2020 and 2021, and a fourth-round pick. I think everyone wins in this situation, including Jalen Ramsey. So, you know, quick thoughts on Double M on that breaking news that just happened minutes ago here. But let's get back to the playlist, Mike, and you mentioned it. NBA in China, you know, this past week, China's been huge with the NBA for years now. It really exploded with Yao Ming getting drafted by the Houston Rockets, and it made NBA, that was already a global sport, even more international, even more bigger and huge. And players, you see Kobe Bryant, the Kyrie Irvings, LeBron James, they have huge market in China. They go there every summer because of how big it is. And outside of the U.S., they make the most money in China. So obviously, as smart as the NBA are, they go have some global game, international games over there for the preseason. This past week, they had the Los Angeles Lakers there. They had the Brooklyn Nets. I believe Houston Rockets were there as well with another team. I'm blanking on who the Rockets were playing during that time. So there was four teams out there. October 4th, and for those who don't know, you know, there's like a civil war going on in China itself. You know, they have it. We all know that China is a communist party, and you know, obviously, in the year 2019, a lot of things are changing. People want democracy over there. So there is a battle happening right now into China. And Daryl Morey, he's in Houston. He's chilling in Houston. He sent out the tweet that I believe you guys all should know by now. Tweet reading, freedom, stand with Hong Kong. You know, showing the support of democracy. Boy, oh boy, did that go left, Mike.
Quickly.
China shut ish down real quick. Let me tell you what happened. So, one, Rockets could lose $25 million in sponsorships. Jeez. Because through all the, you know, things they do with China. Then you got the United States Congress. They have to pen an open letter to China. You had NBA care events that got canceled between the Nets players and Shanghai players. You had the sports brand, Anta. I believe Klay Thompson's on there.
Yep.
I remember Kevin Garnett used to be on there at the time. They're planning to drop the NBA. You have a Lakers-Nets exhibition game in Shanghai that took place on Thursday where there was no sponsors, no media session, nothing whatsoever. Sports brand Li Ling, which sponsored a handful of NBA players, they're suspending their business and ties with the NBA. Television stations from China were not airing on the game. That's just a few of the things and ramifications that happened off of that one tweet. Mike, your thoughts on those?
You know, it's an interesting situation because, like you said, it's 2019, you know, People in China feel like democracy might be the way to go to give people a little more freedom of speech and whatnot. And even though the people of China, the certain people in China may want that, at the end of the day, it's still a communist party. The China government is still a communist party. So everything that's going to happen is going to go through that regardless
right.
of what the change people want. So with that being said, the Chinese government said, oh yeah, Daryl Morey, you American, imagine that he's just not no random dude chilling at his couch, like you said, but like, he's a big time owner of probably the team that has the most connection with China, thanks to, you know, Yao Ming. For him to say that, the Chinese government took that as a slap in the face and as disrespect. So, of course, they probably turned to the media and whatnot in China and said, if that's what this American who is associated with the Houston Rockets, who's associated with the NBA, is saying, we're going to shut stuff down. And that's exactly what they did. It just, I think in one way you can understand what Maury's tweet meant, but at the same time, he poked a bigger bear,
right?
In a sense. He poked the bigger bear, which is the Chinese government, who, despite everything going on, people protesting and whatnot, they still run things over there.
I don't think Maury meant harm.
He didn't. Maury didn't at all.
Maury's over there saying, hey, you know, I support democracy for these guys. But he wasn't thinking. He wasn't thinking at all, because you can't say that tweet when you have your players out there. You don't know what they had to go through. Like, that's the one thing we need to remember. We have no idea what these players had to go through while they were in there. Right now, you know, they're the enemies. They're looked at as the enemies right now. You got the Americans who just trashed the United States in their eyes because of their you know, their communists or whatever their political views are. So now, how are they treating these players? How are the hotel services? Or now they can't do any of the events that they wanted to do. Are they getting shunned? Like, they can't speak. They're not allowed to do anything. It's just, you know, they're just able to go practice, play a couple of basketball games, and it's not even getting televised. That's in your across the world, like, some of these young guys have never ever been to China in their lives. You know, not all of them are LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. So this must have been very, very weird.
Yeah. And then you maybe think that, okay, that tweet came out. Yes, the Chinese government went their way, and or these different, you know, sponsorships and whatnot went the way they felt in terms of cutting ties or about to cut ties with things associated with the NBA. And obviously, with especially more recently, with things happening in the world, it comes to the players. The players who stand in front of the media, especially big name players who, you know, the face of the NFL or face of the NBA or the face of different issues, they're going to get asked questions about things associated with, you know, the job in which they work for.
Right.
In this case, LeBron James. And in a situation like this, players have two options. I think mainly two options. You can literally state how you feel, which can go in so many different directions, positive, negative. People take offense to it. People support it. It can go in so many different ways. Or the safe road and pretty much take the high road and not really make a comment because you don't want to get really associated with anything involved so that it doesn't have any kind of backlash towards you or your family or your brand.
Right.
And, you know, not saying LeBron said anything wrong or negative or whatnot, but LeBron took option A in that matter. And he spoke on, you know, the whole Maury's comments. And now LeBron is receiving backlash and whatnot between the things he had to say, speaking to the media when asked about the situation.
Yeah, it's crazy because this is LeBron James. When everything was going on, obviously at the time, players could not speak. They couldn't speak about anything until they got home. But I was even guilty of it, and I know the whole world was when, what is LeBron going to say? I didn't care about any other player. I wanted to hear what LeBron was going to say, because LeBron is the most influential person in the world. Yeah. Whatever he says goes. Like, when I say goes, means it will catch on. You know, people will talk about it and obviously, LeBron was going to speak because he has that. LeBron knows the platform he has. LeBron knows the voice that he does, that he can carry. LeBron messed up. LeBron messed up big time, because this is a guy who, when he speaks, I've never seen him make a mistake speaking. He's always said the right thing, or he's always found the right way. He has a great framing. He has a great PR team. LeBron's very smart, and he knows how to say the right thing. I think LeBron was pissed about the whole Daryl Morey thing. And when he got up there, he didn't say the best thing. So what did LeBron say? Obviously, for those who don't know, LeBron pretty much came out and said, you know, he thought that Daryl Morey wasn't educated on the subject at hand of what he tweeted. And he shouldn't have said it, because he wasn't thinking about what that could do to people financially, keyword financially. Then he mentioned spiritually, you know, he started rambling on, he started saying things that really didn't make too much sense. And which is what, again, is very rare for LeBron James. But the financially part is what everyone catches up on, because we get it. LeBron got business in China.
Sure does.
You know,
trying to promote a movie over there. Recently.
He's got a movie, Space Jam 2, coming out. He's got sneakers. He's got deals. This, you know, some superstars, Kyrie Irving, all, like he mentioned, those guys, they have business in China. We don't want you to mess up our money, is what LeBron James is pretty much saying. But where LeBron James messed up has is, what was Daryl Morey's tweet about? It was about, you know, fighting for rights, pretty much.
Freedom, yeah.
And that's what LeBron is all about here in the United States. I wouldn't have been upset if LeBron said what he said about Murray and then stated, but I'm, you know, I support all my fans from China and everything like that. And I hope that they get what they deserve, or they get what the freedom there is, and leave it as that. You know, you can criticize Murray, but also relay back to your fans and say, look, I'm supporting you guys and whatnot. Because it seemed like you kind of shunned them, and then you got here people in the media criticizing him because, oh, you're not going to talk about the China rights and all this.
Yeah.
LeBron put himself in a lose-lose situation once he opened his mouth.
Like I said, just two options usually. You either state your piece, which can get you in a lot of trouble, or people can support you, or some of both. Or you can really take the high road and not say anything at all. One guy I'll compare LeBron, kind of compare LeBron to in this situation, is a guy like Tom Brady, in the sense where Tom Brady would get asked a lot of stuff in the media. And that's one guy, you know, he's one of many. I'm just throwing his name out there for example. But he's one guy who some way, somehow, finds the high road and doesn't really try to get his name involved in much. And I mean, I see the comments coming in. There's a lot of comments coming in. Vambo 23132 57 says it's about Hong Kong, which is a democracy, and China trying to stop them. LeBron has no clue. He should have shut his trap, especially after what blacks have lived through. He's just about the money. All right. And I agree with especially with the shut your trap part. You know, you said it best too, Marv, and even more comments are coming in. You know, Sam saying he loves LeBron, but he's a dummy for this one. You just gotta say, you know, and I like how you explained your piece, Marv, saying LeBron usually he has a good PR team or people around him that maybe whether LeBron can himself formulate the right comments to make to the media, or whether beforehand his team and himself, you know, sit down and say, all right, you're probably going to get asked about this.
Yeah.
Here's how you should handle it. It just went bad in this situation because, again, if you read some stuff out there online, LeBron is getting killed left and right. I'm trying to look at some of the comments that came out. Somebody, Dan Wolkin, a writer for the U.S. Today, wrote a column saying, this is probably one of the most disgraceful moments in LeBron James' career.
No.
Disgraceful moments? That's pretty intense to say. But I think in this situation, he didn't necessarily like say something negative to really be at the detriment of somebody else in that sense. But I think, again, he should have just taken the high road on the whole situation and really say, you know,
it sucks. It sucks because it's LeBron. So everything he says gets magnified, right?
Yeah.
So you get a comment like that, this is the most disgraceful. That's all bull. That's all, try not to swear. That's all bull crap that's going on here. Listen, I'm going to say, LeBron James pisses a lot of people off with the comments and things that he does, and, you know, marketing and things of that nature, especially when, you know, he was speaking up on, you know, his dislike for Trump. We all remember that, and supporting Hillary Clinton. And then all of a sudden, you know, the women's come out, and one woman in Fox said, oh, we just need LeBron James to shut up and dribble. And that became a huge marketing tool. He switched it up and everything like that. Now, all of a sudden, when LeBron is in China, they want him to be for the human rights and say something right and speak up and say the right thing. He said, what do you want from this man? This man cannot be perfect. Do I agree with what he said? No. He should have not said anything. This is a matter of Adam Silver should have took over, addressed what happened with NBA in the China. He already came out. He said, hey, we support Daryl Morey for freedom of speech. You know what he said. And then, you know, Houston Rockets, their PR people came out and said, Daryl Morey's tweets does not represent what we believe in. Let that happen. Players, you're still, at the end of the day, LeBron James is still a player. You do not have to say anything.
I think
just be quiet.
Two things. Michael Vega just chimed in and said Fox will drag LeBron through the coals for this one. Yeah. And that's exactly where I read that quote. I'm getting it from foxnews.com, to be honest. So, and they have more than just that quote coming at LeBron and what he did. So I do believe Fox will do that for sure. And then Sam just said, you know, in my opinion, probably the perfect response to something like that. If you're LeBron, you just say, I have no comment on the ongoing situation in China because I do not have the proper knowledge of the situation. That saves you from so much right there. Of course, the media in front of you with the microphones and the recorders will keep pressing the situation. But if you say that or say different variations of that, that saves any kind of shots being fired your way because you're not really saying anything for or against it. You're staying neutral and you're not putting yourself or your brand or anybody else really in jeopardy. And that's it right there. That's usually it.
Like I said, this was rare. I did not see LeBron coming out. I don't know if he thought that if he was going to do this, he'd be making a stand. And like I said, it got weird after he brought up the Daryl Morey situation, saying Daryl Morey wasn't uneducated. He goes on and saying this could harm people spiritually. Like, how do you harm someone spiritually? He started rambling on saying he doesn't want to get to war with Daryl Morey, things like that. It was messy. Obviously, he's upset. The players are probably upset. I think the players are pissed at what happened. You know, this is a time for them to get a lot of media exposure. Imagine a guy like Anthony Davis, right? He's never probably been to China. Yeah. And this is the time where he's in a big brand and a big team. He can finally go out there and build a brand for himself. He's only, 26 years old. He can really market himself out there. Kyrie, he's a champion. He's been out there. He knows this was AD's chance. He didn't have a chance to do that this time. You know, players probably couldn't go out and travel and go to the Great Wall of China, things like that. They were cooped up having to do all this. So LeBron was tight. He couldn't market his business. I just read you how sneaker deals were cut. Yeah. You know, Klay Thompson, poor guy, just chilling at his house, had nothing to do with anything. He's got to be on the phone.
Into his solicitor, yeah.
He's got to be on the phone like, damn, look what's going on. So business was what was put up front. And anytime, you know, you come out and you put money first, people are always going to criticize you for that.
All right, so there's a comment that came in that I feel a certain type of way about. And my guy Bambo said, pretty sure LeBron James had a 1.8 average GPA average in high school. Now he thinks he's a deep thinker. Just make bank and be like Mike and be about basketball. Mm. You know,
he just opened up a door right
there.
That's
a door right there that's going to go into another. I don't know how long this show is.
No, we can talk about it.
But like, I got to disagree there because, yes, people know LeBron didn't go to college. What did he do? LeBron played basketball, and that's basketball's led him to the career he has. Yes, we know that. But now, regardless of his path to get there or what his high school grades led, regardless of all of that, LeBron now has a platform to be the voice for people who are in similar situations or were in similar situations like him who weren't able to make it to the level of where LeBron James is at. So for him to have this platform and be in front of the media, he's going to get asked the questions. And again, yeah, sometimes it's cool to take the high road and say, look, I have no comment. I'm a B. Like, and some people hate Michael Jordan for that. Right. Some people get on Michael Jordan for that because in similar times, you know, back in the 90s, if different things were going on, Michael Jordan will be one guy who probably didn't say much. He found the high road, didn't get him. LeBron James is not Michael Jordan in that aspect. And that's one thing I kind of can commend him for, because especially just in today's day and age where there's so many different things going on, for example, police brutality taking place where innocent guys are losing their lives. LeBron James speaks on that. And I'd rather him, who is probably the most famous basketball player in the last 15, 20 years, whatever, I'd rather him step in front of the media and state his piece rather than just be quiet, because there's people looking at him who actually look up to LeBron James as a big-time athlete, celebrity, and, you know, care about what he has to say. And if he's saying positive things, which I think we can be in agreement with, LeBron James has said a lot of positive things and done a lot of positive things since he's had this level of fame. I can't be mad at LeBron James stating his piece. Did he say something stupid in this situation somewhat with China? Yeah. But for the most part, I have no problem with LeBron speaking his piece, as long as, just like he kind of said about Daryl Morey, as long as you're well-informed and know what you're going to say before the microphones are pushed in your face, that's what it has to boil down to.
So bringing up a man's GPA in high school, what? No disrespect to Vanbo. Thank you for watching, and I respect your opinion. But what the hell does that have to do with anything? You sound no better than the lady at Fox saying shut up and dribble. LeBron James has changed the platform of sports, not the NBA. Think about how NFL players are moving now and how they're trying to control their own type of destiny with controlling their money and controlling their businesses. All of this started with LeBron James. He's changed the whole platform with how things are going on with players and athletes being able to speak up and letting it be okay. This man just started the I Promise School. I don't care what GPA you have. You got to be some type of business savvy to do that. And LeBron James has been the core of it. You know what makes me sick? How come every time we do this damn show, I'm here defending LeBron James?
I don't like LeBron James.
I'm not a LeBron James fan. But every time you guys have to make me come up here and, you know, defend him. But it's okay, because I will never tolerate anything of that nature when you bring up somebody's GPA, whether that is true or not, and try to make an example of that's why he shouldn't say something that he is. This man, like I've been saying, for the most part, LeBron doesn't really have anything bad that he's done. You can bring up what the decision when he made up the decision, and that
I hate the decision. But on the level of things going on in the world, how big of an issue is his decision compared to people getting shot and killed?
Right. He's never done anything wrong in the media per se. There's nothing wrong that he said. He's always said the right things, in my opinion. This was one where we both come in here, we both criticize and say, yo, he should have just shut the hell up, because this is something that could hurt him. And obviously we're seeing how he's getting attacked in both ways. But let's not bring up a man's, you know, GPA when the intelligence is there.
I saw that comment. It really stuck out to me. So I definitely want to say my piece on that. Appreciate you for, you know, saying your piece as well, Mar. But we do got a lot more things to talk about. I see the comments rolling in. We want all these comments to continue to stick with us as we switch gears a little bit. And let's talk about the NFL. And like I stated to kick off the show, situation has been going on in the NFL now over the last couple of seasons. It's just becoming, you know, more questionable with the NFL referees, you know, the decisions the NFL makes in terms of rules. For example, this new pass interference replay, or being able to challenge pass interference calls and different things of that nature. And then on top of a rule like that, the officials just make calls on the field that, you know, end up sometimes deciding the finish of a game. For example, like I said, the Monday night game between the Detroit Lions and Green Bay Packers, some calls there in that game, in some people's opinion, shifted the Detroit Lions winning that game over Green Bay. One big play that happened, I think people remember from last year, is between the Saints and the Rams. Big pass interference play that wasn't called, and it kind of changed the direction of the game, which led to the Rams winning the game. You know, it's tough times right now for the NFL officials and the NFL in general, because it just continues to be a bad look on them. The players are getting on the NFL. Former players are getting on the NFL.
Coaches,
GMs, presidents, fans, all getting on the NFL, because it just continues to get disgusting when you have a game where if you're not an official, but you see something happening that you feel is wrong, you feel is a wrong play call, and then when the NFL has to come out and say, look, yeah, we're sorry, but it was the wrong play, it doesn't really fix anything.
No, it's getting worse. Like, I don't remember officiating ever being this bad, and I can't point my finger to what it really is. Is it because of the more replays? Is it the technology? You're depending more on the technology. No, but then again, if we're sitting here, regular Joe Schmoes watching the TV and seeing that a call is wrong and you can't fix it, it's a problem. And then all of a sudden you bring in this stupid-ass rule where you can challenge pass interferences, and they're thinking, okay, this is going to change everything. Everyone didn't like the rule to begin with because you already knew how it was going to slow down time and everything like that. But okay, coaches said, F it, you're going to give us the rule, we're going to use it.
And they're using it already.
They're using it. And guess how many times it gets overturned? Barely once. Like, coaches are losing timeouts for clear pass interferences that are not getting overturned because it's not egregious enough. So what the hell's the point of the rule? There's so many things that the NFL is doing wrong. The NFL is failing at many times. And now you look at this Detroit versus Packers game. Our boy, our guy, Trey Flowers, gets called for two penalties on hand to the face that were just phantom calls. You can't see it. And the commentators, who usually do a good job at, like, you know, trying to respect the refs, it got to the point they're like, nah, what's going on here? Like, this is becoming ridiculous. Something needs to happen with the NFL. Sam's talking about there's going to be a point in time where there's going to become an investigation going on, but because it needs to happen. Your players are sacrificing their bodies, you know, to try to win a game. All they want is respect from the refs to just call it right. And the refs have not been able to call it right at all. And like you said, it's been the past couple of years, and it's getting worse and worse with these new rules coming up.
The video you was playing before we went on air was from comments from Sean Payton, right? And I think somewhere in there he said, he thinks one thing that many fans don't know, these NFL officials are part-time.
Yeah, that's it. And I want to bring that up.
Which, if it's true, which I'm assuming is true because, I mean, he said it, he works for the NFL and whatnot, NFL should be ashamed of them damn selves. The most important aspect of the game is how the officials call the game. And you mean to tell me you paying these dudes part-time to officiate a game? These officials, you know, I don't necessarily have the knowledge of how the NBA or the NFL, the MLB or the NHL go about it with the officials. But in my mind, just sitting here as a fan of different sports, if I have officials and they're getting paid, and they're probably getting paid a pretty penny,
they get paid really.
I'm talking during the offseason, they're going through trainings and programs and, you know, summer summits and different things on how to be the best official possible. Because I'm wondering, when these NFL referees are part-time, what does that look like?
It's over. Once the season is done, they're done. It's called going dark. Until the season ramps up again. There's no programs where refs have to go and, you know, study and
that's ridiculous.
And that's a huge problem.
That's ridiculous.
I think it's been a couple years now where they've just been part-time because of the CBA contract or whatever it is. And that right there.
That's ridiculous.
Refs need to be full-time.
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 Year-round.
Yes. From Monday through Friday, you want to give them 3 days a week or whatever it is, where they are constantly going over every play that happened and figuring out, okay, this is where we went wrong, this is how we got to change, this is how we officiated. Hey, if that's too tough, if that's too long, someone else will do it. They're getting paid.
Yeah, I'm sure there's people out there who says, if I can be able to get paid year-round to do nothing but study football as an NFL official to make sure I'm doing it. When I say that's ridiculous and I'm disgusted really hearing that, because I didn't even know that was an actual fact. But it's really, as a fan, disgusting to know that, you know, the NFL officials are not full-time. Because I'm assuming, like I said, NBA, MLB, NHL, those referees are deep in the game in terms of studying everything possible to make the best calls out there. Now, obviously, yes, they're human. Will every call be correct? A lot of the stuff they do, they go by the rule book, but they have to make a judgment at the end of the day. But the NFL referees need to be as educated as possible, because you can make an argument that they could possibly have the toughest job out of the top four sports. Do the NFL referees have the toughest job?
Out of all four sports?
Out of all four sports. Basketball, football, baseball, hockey. The officials of each sport. Which sports officials have it the toughest?
That's tough. I mean, you could make an argument. You could make an argument for the NFL. If we're just thinking NFL right now, that they have a tough job because there's so much going on. You're looking at players, their footing. You're looking at where their hands are. You're looking at who jumped first. There's a lot that, as an NFL official, you have to get right. And there's times when NFL officials catch something like, damn, how the hell did he see that? So, you know, obviously it's a special skill to be an NFL ref. Our problem is not that. Human error and things like that, that's been in all sports.
Yes.
That's something that gets talked about. Oh man, the ref screwed us that game up. But it gets to a point when you have a way to fix it and it's not getting fixed, then that becomes the issue. How come you're not being able to fix these issues that you said would happen? Bruce Arians, the head coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he has like 30 assistant coaches, which is ridiculous, by the way. He the owner for the Tampa Bay gave him all he wanted. One of those coaches or staff members, his one job is he's like a referee savant. He goes there and he tells Bruce Arians when and when not to call a challenge. And then he tells him the right verbiage to tell the referee of how he wants the challenge to go. And he still hasn't been able to get a pass to win a challenge yet. So it's just to tell you, nobody knows what the hell's going on. Before, it seems like a long time ago now, but before, the NFL's biggest problem was, is it a catch or not? You remember when that was only 3-4 years ago when it's like, damn, we don't know what a catch is or what not a catch is. Now the NFL has a bigger problem in their hands.
Yeah, I think Derek just said it too. You know, the fact that the NFL makes the most money out of the four major sports, they got to pay the refs.
Yeah.
They have to.
The refs are getting paid, though. It's not about they have to pay the refs.
But it's, yeah, they're getting paid. But the fact that they don't instill a more intense program
full time, right?
For the referees, that part is ridiculous. And something needs to be done about it. I don't know how many more seasons. Last couple of seasons have been bad. Yeah, we said that. But this season right here, especially with this new rule, has taken things far out of hand. And it's going to start to get ugly because you're really going to have, you know, owners and players really, you know, going a separate type of way in terms of what the NFL is trying to do because the officiating so bad.
And I always had this issue with the NBA as well when, like, the referees mess up. What happens to these refs when they clearly F up? Because if a player comes and says anything about the refs, they get fined.
Exactly.
They get fined $15,000, whatever it may be. What happens to these refs? Do they get fined? Do they get suspended?
That's a good question. Because, you know, the way I think about it, say Trey Flowers, right? He came out last night and said, like, these mother effing refs, you know, that bad call, it wasn't a face mask. He's going to get fined for saying something like that. But then the next day, the NFL will come out and say, you know, we missed that one. It wasn't supposed to be a face masking call on Trey Flowers. Why should Trey Flowers face punishment when you're essentially agreeing, you just don't want him to talk back? It shouldn't just be on the player. The referee should face some kind of consequence for calling or making the wrong call. But then again, that still falls on the NFL because they're not taking the proper steps in ensuring that these referees can be at the top of their game. It's a lot, man. It's really a lot.
There was one thing I remember a couple years back. It was one of the do your jobs at the Patriots. They have so many do your job specials that I can't remember.
I'm like part three right now.
I can't even remember what it was, but I believe it was like do your job one, and it was against, it was 2014 when they faced the Ravens in the AFC Championship, I believe, though the Seattle Seahawks year that they won the Super Bowl. And Bill Belichick said something where he said, "We knew the officiating team, and they don't pull the flag fast enough or something like that. So we knew we could hit this play if we did it correctly, that they wouldn't call something on that because we knew this officiating team." And that always stuck with me. It was like, yo, these coaches are not only studying their opponents, they're studying the official. Okay, what officiating team do we have this week? Okay, can we be aggressive this week or can we not be this aggressive? Because that right there was crazy to me then, and it brings me flashbacks to it now. It's like now coaches are saying, okay, this week, guys, you know, we gotta watch the pick play because this referee really likes to catch it, or this referee they don't really mind the pick play. You can do this and that. Like that's crazy. From the team one referee or team 14 referee, they should all be on the same page, and that's not the case.
It's not. The fact that you go into your game plan meetings and say, okay, we got these guys this week, so we know how we can have certain plays or what kind of game plan we can have because this certain officiating crew, you know, does things at this style. That right there shouldn't be a part of the game.
And it is.
That right there should not be a part of the game because then it goes back to what Sam's saying earlier. Something, maybe an investigation has to take place because what if that one officiating crew is calling a certain type of way because they're all in cahoots? Because when you say officiating crew, like those certain refs work a game together all season.
Right.
You could have one of these officiating, this could be a crazy movie in a couple of years. I could see a crazy movie coming out because one officiating crew, they're all in cahoots trying to split the game parts a certain way so that they can get paid. I'm not saying it's happening, but I tell you, if that news were to break that these four or five whatever officials found guilty of fixing games, I tell you one person who would not be shocked by that, me, because that's how crazy it is right now.
Yeah, it's a black eye to the NFL. It's not a good look. Obviously, this week you'll be hearing a lot about it because of the past game of the Detroit and Green Bay Packers. But them adding that pass interference rule has not made things easier for the NFL. I guarantee you can hear it here first. I guarantee that rule that challenged the pass interference is gone next year. Yeah. Guarantee it.
Or modified somehow.
Because
I mean, early on, Dirk said those pass interference challenges should be in the last 2 minutes at the end of the half, coming only from the booth.
Possible. It could get modified. That's not a bad one, Dirk. But it won't move on.
The way it is now, it won't work
because teams are losing timeouts off of things that, and now teams are not even throwing the flag. There was a pass interference on Marvin Jones on last night, Monday's game. And everyone's like, oh, that's a pass interference. And Patricia didn't throw the challenge flag. And I don't blame him because nothing's been working when you throw that challenge flag. So teams are letting mistakes go now because they know they're going to lose a timeout if they do. It's crazy.
NFL has a problem on their hands. You know, regardless of how the season plays out, who wins the championship, whatever, NFL has a bigger problem on their hands with the referee. Because at the end of the day, they're just going to keep coming out and apologizing, and it's going to kind of get brushed under the rug in their opinion. But let's change gears a little bit, you know, talking some sports. We want to move on and talk about a guy in the entertainment business that's made some big, massive moves. And that is Tyler Perry, who's been out for a while and been in the game for a while, making movies. He used to do a lot of, you know, plays and whatnot. But this guy has his own studio, studios film production studio.
Tyler Perry Studio.
The Tyler Perry Studio, yes. And recently, you know, he changed locations with the studio, moving it to Atlanta. And he got himself a spot, a crazy spot.
A city.
It's a city, man. If I'm looking at the details here now, he moved into a place formerly Fort McPherson Complex to 338 studio that has 50,000 square feet of site dedicated to standing permanent sets, including a replica of a luxury hotel lobby, a White House replica, 16,000 square foot mansion, a mock cheap hotel, whatever that is, a trailer park set, and a real 1950 style diner that was relocated from a town 100 miles away. It also hosts 12 sound stages named after highly accomplished African Americans in the entertainment industry. Some of those include Oprah Winfrey, Will Smith, Harry Belafonte, John Singleton, who recently passed away, Sidney Poitier, Spike Lee, Halle Berry, Whoopi Goldberg, Denzel Washington, just to name a few. He built something.
He created his own Hollywood in Atlanta.
Wild.
Created his own Hollywood in Atlanta, and I got to see a little sky view of it. It looks like a big-ass university. It's just areas of different studios that take up a huge acre of land. And just saying it, it's hard to describe until you actually see what this man built. Like you just said, there's a damn White House in it. A replica of the White House is in that Tyler Perry studio, which is wild. This man created something huge. And I'm not even going to lie. I'm not big on Tyler Perry. I don't watch the Madea movies like that. I watched House of Pain. That was my show back in the day in high school. But that was really the only Tyler Perry thing I really caught up on. And so when this Tyler Perry news really broke, I didn't really read into it until someone had to sit me down and be like, nah, you got to check out what Tyler Perry is doing. And this is a game changer, especially for, you know, up and coming African Americans who really want to break out. It's hard to break into Hollywood. You already have established people in there, and there's not many black producers, black directors. We can obviously just name a few of them, like two or three that get spoken about all the time, the Spike Lees, the Ryan Cooglers, and them. So now that you're giving them a platform where they can create their own films, their own original ideas, and it comes out of the Tyler Perry Studio, amazing things can come out of this.
Yeah, I think one thing that needs to happen for sure, I'm not saying that the Tyler Perry hasn't been doing this, but I'm looking at, you know, his film history and whatnot, or the studio's history, and a lot of his movies have been, you know, Madea movies, Madea's Tough Love, Madea's Halloween, Madea's Halloween 2, Madea Family Funeral, like Madea's Witness Protection. He's had a lot of Madea movies, which is great, and all, they've had some success. You know, like you said, you don't really follow those movies. I probably watched the first few with Madea in it, like The Diary of a Mad Black Woman and Family Reunion. And then he's had a few movies that kind of stand out on their own, like Why Did I Get Married, which is one of the big movies that came up under his brand. But I think one thing that he needs to continue to do, like, sure, people love the Madea movies, and as long as they're making decent money, I guess you can keep putting them out there for people to enjoy them. But with this now newly set up studio that you said is a pretty much a city or university, and you also said again, give a lot of, you know, up and coming black actors a chance, you know,
actors, directors,
yeah,
life crew, studio crew, like anyone.
I think he needs to continue to try to push out more, you know, movies that don't center around Madea and whatnot. Because yeah, you could be known for that role, it's a big role, whatever. But if you can put other people on that can blow up their movies, still under your brand in a sense, that does so much for him. Excuse me, so much for up and comers who are trying to get their name out there. Because at the end of the day, it does good for him, and it does good for people who are trying to get noticed and trying to really blow up in the industry.
Yeah, and it's inspirational too. Like Tyler Perry really blew up in 2005 with that first movie of I forget what was his the first movie in 2005.
Diary of a Mad Black Woman.
Diary of a Mad Black Woman. That's when we got to see him on TV. You know, prior to that, obviously he was doing a lot of stage acting, a lot of plays and like that. But 2005, Mike, 2005 is not that long ago.
Sure isn't.
2005 was 14 years ago. 14 years ago is not that long for him to already creating a studio and such. That's very inspirational. Just you just gotta keep grinding.
Absolutely.
Keep grinding, and something like this is possible. So I'm all for what Tyler Perry did, man.
True. And we'll see how it continues to blow up. Like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing what other movies can come from, you know, the Tyler Perry Studios that will put either up-and-coming actors that we already know now or guys and girls that we haven't, you know, seen yet. We'll see what comes from there. But one final topic I want to touch on, and, you know, you and I both have had the pleasure of seeing the latest, well, not the latest, but the Joker movie.
Yeah, the latest.
The latest movie, when I said latest, I'm trying to think, like, if there's another Joker movie before, but this has really been the first.
The first standalone
Joker movie. And I think we're both in agreement, it was a pretty damn good movie.
That movie's great.
It's a great movie. If you had a chance to see the Joker movie, if you haven't had a chance to see it, you know, I definitely recommend it.
Spoilers. Spoiler right now. Spoiler alert.
I mean, can it really be a spoiler?
Just in case they don't want to hear anything about it and want to go fresh.
Okay, well, if you don't want to know about the Joker movie too much, well, we're not really going to talk about the movie itself. But, I mean, I just think that the Joker or the actor, Joaquin
Phoenix
did a hell of a job portraying the Joker, telling the origin story of who the Joker was. Now, if you watch the movie, you know, goes into his life, you know, coming up as a broke-ass comedian or whatever, clown. But he doesn't really take on the Joker per se, and we see him as, you know, the villain out in the streets of Gotham committing crimes or whatnot. It kind of took
him. It's not the mob Joker.
It took you on a path of how he became that or what led him down that road. But at the end of the day, he still was the Joker.
Right.
There's been people out there who saying this movie is so damn good, so damn well, that they say he might have even done a better job than Heath Ledger, who portrayed the Joker in The Dark Knight. In my opinion, Heath Ledger killed that role as the Joker in The Dark Knight, and I don't think there's been anything to touch him before and after. Granted, I never saw those Jack Nicholson movies. You know, I've always heard Jack Nicholson did a great job. You know, they're kind of before my time, and I never really saw them. But in my time, I've seen now three Jokers. Heath Ledger, Jared Leto, and Joaquin Phoenix. I'm not even going to mention Suicide Squad. Marv hasn't even seen the movie. But if you've seen Suicide Squad, I'll just tell you personally, I was not a fan of that Joker whatsoever. Heath Ledger played the best Joker I've ever seen. This Joker was good from the latest movie Joker, but I have him second to Heath Ledger still, in my opinion.
Yeah, two different Jokers, as you could suspect. One obviously being Joker from Dark Knight, Heath Ledger's Joker, was the crime mob Joker in an action film. This Joker, Joaquin Phoenix playing the Joker in a standalone movie, was not an action film. It was more of the psychological Joker and how he becomes it. So two different Jokers. But if I was going to compare Heath Ledger, bar none. Because Heath Ledger's performance was incredible. You go to watch Dark Knight for the Joker and his performance and this how he speaks, this the way he speaks and he moves and how he had no fear, no reason for rhyme. You know, like you never seen a villain like that. Every villain had a reason. Like it was for money, it for his power. This Joker didn't have that, and Heath Ledger portrayed it so well, so psychotically, and he didn't lose in the film either. We talk about how Thanos, you know, he's one of the only villains that won after Infinity War. Joker didn't really lose, you know, and we unfortunately, because of Heath Ledger's death, we never really got to see what could have transpired after that and what Joker could have been in following suit. But Joaquin Phoenix is great. Heath Ledger, legendary.
Absolutely.
One of the best characters in film. Not just one of the best villains. This is one of the best characters in film portrayed wise. Dark Knight is incredible. What he did as Joker, man, crazy.
Yeah, you know, like we had this conversation before, and like I said, I've seen one movie of Heath Ledger that I can really remember, and that was The Patriot. And he was a much younger guy. He wasn't the main actor in the movie, but he had a pretty solid part in the movie for sure. In my opinion, watching that movie, and then you watch, you know, The Dark Knight, I personally could not even tell that the person playing the Joker was Heath Ledger. I couldn't even see Heath Ledger in the Joker. Like his facial expression, yes, he had, you know, the makeup on him, whatever, but like, I couldn't even see or tell Heath Ledger just because whatever he went through to play that role, he really transformed himself into being the Joker. I'll say the same in the latest movie with Jaquan Phoenix. You know, he took on the role really well, but the way Heath Ledger transformed to play that role, unbelievable.
We got Michael Vega saying the movie reminds me of NF Music. For some reason, it was performing arts. However, Heath was the best as far. Jack Nicholson was the bad as well. And that's another thing about Joaquin Phoenix. Yes, he did a good job, but like Michael said, the movie was art. It was one of the best written movies I've seen. Like, it was so well written. It brought up so many issues, especially in the climate that we are in now.
Sam's comment
talking about mental. Sam said it. Yeah. See, I didn't even see that yet. But talking about mental health and how that became a thing, because it brought back to how Joker's stepfather used to beat the hell out of him, and the mom used to let him. And even in The Dark Knight, that Joker mentioned it as well. You want to know how I got these scars and everything like that. So it brought up so much, and it was art. I love how you said that, Vega, how that was art. What did Sam say? I think Joaquin could be legendary too because of the focus on mental health right now. Seeing how this mental health issues and lack of support that he got is going to hit home for a lot of people. Definitely.
Very true.
Definitely.
Very true.
The movie was well done, man.
You came out in a time where it's in a sense necessary to kind of highlight some of the stuff. Ooh,
I like this question here, Mike.
So who was the best Batman? Christian Bale?
Yes. I've seen
who hate Christian Bale.
I've seen Clooney.
Seen Clooney, Christian Bale, and Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck.
I know people hate Ben Affleck.
And I've seen that other duo, I forget his
Michael
name.
Keaton? West,
Michael Keaton?
Yeah, he did early ones.
Bale's the best one. I like Bale. I know a lot of people had issues with Bale, but I really like Christian Bale as Batman.
Those movies are different in a sense, but yes, playing Batman, you say you like his...
I like the look. He looked like Batman to me. He looked like Bruce Wayne. I didn't see too many flaws with Christian Bale, really.
I think Christian Bale and those Batman movies produced by Christopher Nolan, I don't think there'll be anything to top those anytime soon. I think Christian Bale did a hell of a job. Again, I think a lot of people don't like or didn't like Ben Affleck's portrayal of Batman. I was actually a fan of, I wouldn't say he's better than Christian Bale, he did a better job, but I think Ben Affleck did a hell of a job, and I would have liked to see a standalone film with him playing an older, grittier Batman. I personally would have been interested in seeing it. I know it seems like that's not going to happen, but if they were to go that route and make a Batman standalone movie with Ben Affleck, because Ben Affleck's a decent actor. He's a pretty decent actor. I would have been interested in seeing that for sure.
What the hell? This dude said Carson Edwards hit 8 3s and a quarter.
What time is it?
I'm about to stop. We're about to go watch that right now. Whoa!
What's the score?
Yeah, I got the notification.
Oh, Celtics got them a.
I told you, Carson Edwards. What did I tell you? He reminds me of Mike.
Eddie House.
Eddie House. That could be the young gutter Eddie House right there. Carson Edwards. This is a live show, so we just react to what we see.
That is true. Real quick, back to the Batman situation. We go peep that game right after this. Ben Affleck looked overweight in the Batman costume that should have made him appear thinner. I mean, if you want to look at how his weight, well, I personally thought he was fine in the two movies he did.
I hated it. Very disappointed.
But I think his portrayal of Batman being a little more darker, like, what movie was it? Batman versus Superman? I swear he pulled out a gun and started shooting people.
Yeah, that scene.
Was that a dream scene?
I still didn't understand that
scene. There's another scene. That was
about the machine.
There was that scene when he did that in like the desert, right?
Yeah.
It was like a flashback scene or something. But then in another movie, I don't know if it was I don't know if it was Batman versus Superman or I think it was Batman Superman because he went to go save Superman's mom. He pulled up in a warehouse. And I swear, he was cracking necks and shooting guns, not throwing any type of batarang. He pulled out guns and grenades and went in there and took those dudes out.
My man said, die, please, hurry up.
There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of great Batmans. You can debate them all. I like saying Michael Keaton. I'm a huge fan of that Batman as well. But...
Yeah, you know, people talk about Christian Bale, how, you know, he dedicates his ass off to roles, losing like 50 pounds for the Christian Bale, I think he was great. I heard that he's like an asshole to work with, though, which is unfortunate to hear that because I really like him as an actor. But I guess he's like one of the toughest actors to work with, just how he is. And he's not really, you know, a friendly guy.
I see the comments coming in, man, but we're going to get ready to wrap this show up here. Appreciate y'all tuning in with the news, joining the conversation. Let us also drop in some news here that Marv and I don't even know about because we're doing the show right now. But Double M, man, this is where y'all can find us for sure, man. Marv.
Yes, sir.
Wrap us up, bro.
I see a lot of you guys, you know, when the show started, you guys started hitting us with a lot of Patriots things. Like, they was Michael Bennett,
We saw those. We weren't ignoring you. We saw them.
We saw it. So, Mike, if we want to talk Patriots, where can we talk Patriots with them?
You can check us out, Marv and I. We not only host the Patriots post-game show, which we do live after every single Patriots game right here on this same CLNS Media Network. You can also check us out with the Patriots Roundtable that drops throughout the week, a show that we record that we discuss many different, you know, situations, team news that are going on with the team. Marv and I cover so much Patriot stuff. Y'all got to check us out here. We do those two shows right alongside Double M that we do Tuesday nights.
Yes, sir. For everyone new that checked us out tonight, we appreciate you guys. Let us know in the comments what you thought about this episode of the Double M Show.
Subscribe,
you know. Check us out on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio app. We are all over the place as well. We appreciate everyone in their comments. Whether we agree, disagree, it's great to have conversation because that's what Double M is all about. So every Tuesday at 8 o'clock, this is where we will be. Right. This is what we will be doing. Make sure you check us out. We appreciate everyone for watching the Double M Show. Mr. Mike Nice, DJ Mees, we are out of here. What's wrong?